They say that they're saying that God hasn't given me a time frame on it, but they're saying that in August is whenever this great movement of God is going to start. I'm believing it's already started, and it's just going to increase and increase. God said once it starts, it's never going to stop. It's going to increase, so that's where I'm at with it. But a lot of people or a lot of prophets out there saying it's going to be August. Watch for August. Well, I'm watching for today. Yeah. Amen. I'm watching what God's doing today because He's doing fantastic things. See, this is what everybody thinks that we have to get cleaned up instantly. We would all like that, but that isn't really how it works. We get excited. We watch this here. We get excited for God, and we're on fire for God. And next thing you know, the people disappear. Where'd they go to? Then they come back in, and they look like death warmed over, you know. And then they just have to start all over again, but. They do start all over again, and God does a great and mighty works in their life, and then He starts using you. But I have news for you guys. God wants to use you right now. He doesn't want a 3-year term going on. He wants you to get in the house of God. He wants you to love Him, and He wants to just give you all of His power and authority and send you out there and start using you. God wants to you. He's trying to get men into the house of God, because there's not very many men in the house of God that really serve God. And what He's going to do with the men He's bringing in now is He's going to clean them up totally and completely, and then He's going to use them in great signs, wonders, and miracles. So I don't know where you're at in your walk with God or in your walk in your life, but wherever you're at, God would like to take you a whole lot further. He really would. Now, I'm not going anywhere, so you're not going to get my mantle. I'm going to tell you all that right now. I'm not dying. I'm going to be around to harass you as you go on your journey. Amen. I'm going to be around to keep you on your toes. Amen. But really and truly, there are a lot of people dying out there, and their mantles have to go someplace. And why not you? Why not you? And God is really looking for those who want to yield totally and completely to Him. This morning I wanted to teach about forgiving yourself. I found that is a great need in the house of God. In fact, I found out I had to do that for myself just last week. I thought, well, I can't believe this, that I'm going here. But we have to forgive ourselves if we're going to move on with God. And Father God, I thank You right now for Your daughter Mary. I thank You that You've dropped Your anointing so strong upon her and that You're using her mightily. And Father God, we agree in one mind and one accord that the holy angels are round about her, keeping her safe as she goes upon her assignment with You. And Father, anybody else that's come into the house of God this morning that You are using in a mighty way, we also thank You that those angels are already placed around about them as a shield to protect them as they go forth and minister Your word. And Father, those who come into the house of the Lord this morning, Father, they're hungry, they're thirsty. They came to sit at Your table to be fed fresh manna. And I'm asking You, Father God, to feed them that fresh manna right now. I'm asking You, Father God, I felt Your glory drop during the praise and worship. And I'm asking You to increase that glory as we go through the teaching this morning. Bless Your people, Father God. Bless them abundantly. Whatever they came for, Father God, give it to them. Increase whatever they have, Father. And Father, we thank You for their faithfulness. We thank You for Your faithfulness. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Wednesday night, Reverend Brett taught us about guilt and condemnation. And it made me think about forgiveness in every aspect, just not in one area, but every aspect. One of the things that God always talks about in His word is forgiveness, right? Now, if you look in the mirror and you look yourself in the eyes, but you don't like the person you see, how many of us have been there? Then you need to forgive yourself and learn how to love the person that God has made in you. Let's read that again. If you look in the mirror and look yourself in the eyes, but you don't like the person you see, then you need to forgive yourself and learn how to love the person that God has made in you. You know my story, I was told all my life, you're ugly. I wasn't, but I was told that you're ugly, you're unlovable, nobody can ever love you. So I wouldn't even look in the mirror, not unless I absolutely had to, because I didn't like the person that I saw, because I knew that person was ugly and unlovable. And once I was born again, I had to forgive myself and understand that I was lovable and I wasn't ugly. God made me an imperfect in all my ways. So if any of you were in here thinking that way this morning, the devil's a liar. And you are everything in Christ Jesus. All right. So then I said, if you look in the mirror, you didn't like what you saw, you had to love yourself. And this is what we call a stronghold or an incorrect thinking pattern that needs to be torn down in your mind. If you have repented of your sins and taken them before the Lord, then you are forgiven. Get this in your spirit. Then you are forgiven. And now you need to come to realize the power of that. A lot of people take it before the Lord, but they still hang on to it. You need to stop associating your failures with your new creation image. God's word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, we all know that when the minute you gave your heart to God, you did not become new. What I mean is you still had the old sin nature is what I'm trying to say. You became new in Christ, but you still had your old sin nature that you had to start working on and to get rid of. And that's why we go through deliverances, to get all that old junk out of us so we can be all that Christ has called us forth to be. The 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can you honestly look in the mirror and tell yourself, I love you? And mean it with your heart. I'm not talking about a prideful way. I see a lot of people look in the mirror and, you know, I'm thinking, what are you looking at? Because they're hung up on themselves, all right? But what I'm saying is, can you honestly look in the mirror and tell yourself, I love you, and mean it with your heart? I'm not talking about a prideful way, but a humble means of accepting who God has formed in you. We need to love and accept that person that Christ has made in us and forgive ourselves as Christ has forgiven us. I don't care what you've done. You heard the song. That's why I played that song at the very end. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, come to God and he sets you free. The importance of forgiving yourself. When you look inside, you hate yourself. You could kick yourself over and over for your past failures and choices. How many of us have been there? You've come to Jesus and repented, but you haven't really accepted the truth about what Jesus has done for you yet. Let's get this in our spirit this morning. You still feel ashamed and guilty over your past, and you keep holding it against yourself. All right? I just went through this last week. There was something that God told me to do. Well, he didn't tell me to do something. Something was supposed to be done quite a few years ago, and I didn't realize my part in it, and I didn't do it. So I kept saying, God, I'm so sorry I didn't do my part. God, please forgive me. Over and over and over again, he said, will you just shut up? He said, I heard you the first time you repented. Now just drop it. All right, so this is, I had to forgive myself and get out of it. Stop it. All right? All right, you've come to Jesus and repented, but you haven't really accepted the truth about what Jesus has done for you yet. You still feel ashamed and guilty over your past, and you keep holding it against yourself. The way you see yourself is not an accurate picture of what Christ has done for you. It is basically denying the work that Jesus accomplished for you on the cross. If your sins are forgiven, which they are, then you need to see yourself as separated from your sins. But the enemy will try diligently to remind you of your past and continue to beat you up over sins that were supposed to be nailed to the cross. If that's the case, then you are wrapped up in guilt and condemnation, and you need to forgive yourself. Everybody in this room, I don't care who you are, how long you've been in God, you've done something or many things that you wished you'd never have done. You cannot go back and erase your past. It's done. It's over with. But what you can do is receive your freedom in Christ and go forth and don't go back and do those things anymore. And what happens is you've done some things you weren't proud of, and you try to get rid of those things, but the devil keeps saying, oh, look what you used to do. Look what you did. Look what you did. Next thing you know, well, I might as well go ahead and do it again because I can't get rid of it. You need to tell the devil where to go, and you need to move forward. I'm serious. If you don't do that, you're going to be caught in this trap, and you end up in hell. because that's where the enemy's trying to take you. You can go through deliverance, but if you don't forgive yourself for the mistakes you've made, you won't experience a breakthrough that you need to be totally set free from. You have to forgive yourself if you're going to go through deliverance. When the recipient of a gift receives it gladly and with joy, the giver is glorified. Now, if Barbara there gave me a gift and I was just so excited I couldn't stand myself, she would be glorified. She would be happy too, right? But when the recipient receives a gift but ignores it, the giver is mocked and belittled and feels unappreciated. If she gave me a gift, I said, well, thank you, and then laid it down and never looked at it again, she would really be upset and feel unappreciated, right? Think how your Heavenly Father feels when He looks down and sees His children walking around beating themselves up over things that He shed His blood so that they could be forgiven and set free from. Don't you think that bothers Jesus with everything He went through? And He looks down and sees you going around beating yourself up over and over and over again after you've repented. And He's made a way for you to be set free. I believe it is clear that failing to forgive ourselves from our past mistakes is denying the work of the cross and the shed blood of Christ in our life. Are you listening? When God's word tells us that we have been washed clean with the blood of Christ and our sins are removed through the atoning work that Jesus did for us, yet we still could kick ourselves for our mistakes, then we are basically saying, I don't care what the blood of Jesus has done. I still hate myself for what I've done. And that's what I was going through for about 3 weeks. And God got all over me about that. So I'm not the only one in that boat. All right. So I said, when God's word tells us that we have been washed clean with the blood of Christ and our sins are removed through the atoning work that Jesus did for us, yet we still could kick ourselves for our mistakes, then we are basically saying, I don't care what the blood of Jesus has done. I still hate myself for what I've done. If you don't see yourself as a new creature in Christ, then you have a serious problem. You will be hindered and held back from freely and confidently living out who you really are in Christ. You will be hesitant and feel unworthy to approach your Heavenly Father because you feel you're a failure and unworthy. This is why it's vital for your conscience to be cleansed of dead works, which is your past failures. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So Hebrews tells us that we need to be purged from our dead works. Failing to forgive yourself will put blinders on your spiritual eyesight quickly. All right, like how many of you, whenever you got born again and you got all excited and saw how God wanted to use you, you sit around and said, God, I wasted so many years of my life. Say, you know, you need to forgive yourself of that. I did that, and God said, daughter, you didn't waste anything. So you didn't waste anything. He's everything you've gone through from the time you're born up to now was a training ground for me to put place you where I want you to be. So don't keep saying, oh God, I wasted so much of my time. You didn't waste any time. Now is your time to do the thing that God has called you for to do. It wasn't last year. It wasn't even 2 weeks ago. It's right now. All right. Failing to forgive yourself will put blinders on your spiritual eyesight quickly. It will cause you to see things through the eyes of guilt, shame, and condemnation. It will ruin your faith and cause you to go blind spiritually. And 2 Peter 1:9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I want everybody in this room, as you're listening to this, to forgive yourself for the final time. Thank God that He had took your sins and threw them into the sea of forgetfulness. And tell Him, I'm never going to live in my past sins ever again. I'm going forward. It doesn't matter what I've done. I love to listen to Jesse Duplantis tell about his life. He doesn't care what he tells, does he? I mean, he was a mess, wasn't he? And look, he got his, you know, his grandmother prayed for him, and finally he got saved on the toilet, and, you know, while he was on a tour, and he was a terrible person. And he tells about how he was all the time. And it's just a catalyst for others to go ahead and serve God. they can say, okay, well, if God can use you after all that junk you were doing, God can surely use me because I wasn't quite as bad as you were. Amen. Come on. Come on, guys. Why do you think God says your testimony? He's going to use your testimony of where you were to help others. If we were all perfect, how would we help somebody else? You know, because we would never, we weren't into any mess, so we can't relate to it. All right, so this is what I say about drug addicts. Drug addicts know what a drug addict does. I don't. I just see what they do. But you know what they go through. You know every thought, every emotion, every pain, every guilt. You know everything. So you can relate to them. One person cannot save the world. Every one of you in here have a calling upon your life. And I can guarantee you every one of your life in the past has been different. And God is going to use that to save the lost and dying that's out there right now. All right. In the following verse, we are told to forgive one another. That's where I'm at, right? In the following verse, we are told to forgive one another, but did you know that the root word for the phrase one another actually includes yourself? The Greek root word, it's H-E-A-U-T-O-U, refers not only to others, but also to ourselves. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Christ has forgiven you. Now you forgive yourself. Come on. You know, you look at people in the house of God and you think, well, they're so perfect. No, they're the most imperfect people you've ever met, I found out. And you look at pastors, you think, boy, I wish I could be where they're at. No, you do not. You want to be where you're at, doing the things God's called you for to do, because you don't know what pastors have gone through or are going through. All right? The unforgiveness is a known door opener. Listen to this. Unforgiveness is a known door opener to torment from demonic spirits. Matthew 18:23-35 tells us how the unforgiving person is turned over into the hands of tormentors, and that is tormenting spirits. You can read that when you go home. It's Matthew 18:23-35. Now, if we are unforgiving towards ourselves, or you hear what you're reading, we open that door for tormenting spirits to come against us because we are not really accepting the work that Christ did for us on the cross. Another key to the demonic is bitterness. And when we become bitter with ourselves, we're talking about ourselves now, with ourselves, we become defiled spiritually. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You get really angry and upset with yourself. In fact, you want to kill yourself. You wish you were dead. That's bitterness against yourself. That's unforgiveness against yourself. You need to step out of that. If we are true children of God, then we will accept you as you are. And we're not going to look at what you even did 2 minutes ago, but we're going to accept you as you are right there as you stand before our face. And we're going to forget everything else you ever did because Jesus already forgave you. God's word tells us that Jesus purged, that is, removed our sin in Hebrews 1:3, when he had by himself purged our sins. But if we fail to forgive ourselves, in essence, we are saying, I hate myself because I did that sin. I won't forgive myself of it. How many of you trying to quit smoking? You hate yourself over and over and over again, don't you? That's a sin. How many of you might be trying to quit cussing? And you hate yourself because you keep cussing. That's a sin. You understand what we're saying here? When God's word tells us that the sin has been purged or removed from us, who are we to say that it is still part of our past? We are in essence saying God's word is a lie. I can't tell you how important it is to realize that when the recipient of a gift, you and I, receives a gift of Jesus' shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins, when we receive it with joy and enjoys it to the fullness, the giver of that gift, that is Jesus, is glorified. What I'm saying here is if we get really super excited knowing that God has forgiven us of all of our past sins and we receive that with great joy, and God is glorified. Failing to forgive ourselves is denying or rejecting the gift of God and brings no glory to what Jesus did for us. In fact, it actually brings him dishonor and humiliation. What Hebrews chapter 10 has to say is Hebrews 10, 1 through 22. Let's read this now. The law gave us only an unclear picture of the good things coming in the future. The law is not a perfect picture of the real things. The law tells people to offer the same sacrifice every year. Those who come to worship God continue to offer those sacrifices, but the law can never make them perfect. If the law could make people perfect, those sacrifices would have already stopped. They would already be clean from their sins, and they would not still feel guilty. But that's not what happens. Their sacrifices make them remember their sins every year, right? Because it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So when Christ came into the world, he said, "You don't want sacrifices and offerings, but you have prepared a body for me. You are not pleased with the sacrifices of animals killed and burned or with offerings to take away sins. Then I said, 'Here I am, God. It is written about me in the book of the law. I have come to do what you want.'" Christ first said, "You don't want sacrifices and offerings. You are not pleased with animals killed and burnt or with sacrifices to take away sin. These are all sacrifices that the law commands." Then he said, "Here I am, God. I have come to do what you want." So God ends that first system of sacrifices and starts his new way. Jesus Christ did the things God wanted him to do, and because of that, we are made holy through the sacrifice of Christ's body. Christ made that sacrifice one time, enough for all time. He's not going to come and die for you again. Every day the priests stand and do their religious service, again and again they offer the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But Christ offered only one sacrifice for sins, and that sacrifice is good for all time. Then he sat down at the right side of God. And now Christ waits there for his enemies to be put under his power. With one sacrifice, Christ made his people perfect forever. They are the ones who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also tells us about this. First, he says, "This is the agreement I will make with my people in the future, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write my laws in their minds." Then he says, "I will forget their sins and never again remember the evil they have done." And after everything is forgiven, there is no more need for a sacrifice to pay for sins. And so, brothers and sisters, we are completely free to enter the most holy place. We can do this without fear because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus. We enter through a new way that Jesus opened for us. It is a living way that leads through the curtain, which is Christ's body. And we have a great priest who rules the house of God. Sprinkled with the blood of Christ, our hearts have been made free from a guilty conscience, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So come near to God with a sincere heart, full of confidence because of our faith in Christ. Do you see that, guys? Jesus died on the cross so your sins could be totally and completely forgiven. How are you going to save a lost and dying world if you're still thinking, "Well, you know, I'm an old sinner and I'll never amount to anything. I'm unworthy. God can't ever use me." How are you going to minister to somebody that's lost? You can't do that. You have to forgive your past. And I know there's many in the world who wish they didn't even have a past because it's so bad, but you can't do anything about it. But Jesus did. He shed his blood so your sins could be washed away. Please, the body of Christ needs to get that in your spirit this morning, because God wants to use you to minister to those out there in the world who have done a lot of things. The world is dark out there. And they're into a lot of junk. And you've got to convince them that their sins are forgiven. And if you don't know that your sins are forgiven, how are you going to convince anybody else their sins are forgiven? Washed with pure water. Step number one, be honest with yourself. Realize that down deep inside, you're not happy with the person of your past. Be honest with yourself. If you are in denial, then forget trying to treat the root of your problem. You need to see the problem before you can apply the solution. It might even be helpful to list all the things that you hate about your past, and one by one, give them to the Lord and release yourself from each failure. Step number two, you need to realize that your debt has been paid. The only way that you can beat yourself up after Jesus has paid your debt is if you aren't accepting the gift that he has given you. If he's paid the debt and you keep denying that fact, then you are rejecting the very gift that God has given you. You need to accept what Jesus has done for you by faith. In Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even if we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The blood of Jesus was shed for the payment of your sins. Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Because of the powerful work that Christ did for us on the cross, God's word tells us to come boldly. He doesn't want you sniveling and crawling on your hands and knees and begging. He wants you to come boldly unto the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy. One time I got upset and I was carrying on with a member of the family. Then I said, I went in to pray because I knew I shouldn't have done it. And I said, I'm not going to crawl. I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace and ask you to rip this anger out of me right now. I'm not going to bawl and squall and forgive and make excuses. I'm coming boldly. Now you made me the way I am. Now you take care of me. Amen. Come on. You know, God made you. You are exactly what God wants you to be. Don't try to be somebody else. You be who God made you to be. Your personality, you're built, whatever. You are made in God's image, the way he wants you. Now, I wouldn't want all of us to look the same in the world, would you? I like all the different personalities. I like all the different faces I look at. Amen? I wouldn't want to look at just one face all the time. Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The price for your redemption has been paid in full with the blood of Jesus. It's up to you to receive it and realize that the blood of Jesus actually removes the sin from your record. Come on. I don't care if you was a thief. I don't care if you killed somebody. I don't care if you were a drug addict, an alcoholic, whatever, a prostitute. I don't care what you were. The blood of Jesus removed that sin from your life. Now, you need to see yourself as being forgiven and justified, which means just as if you've never sinned. You can walk around acting like that because the Word of God tells you to. Right? In Luke 7, Jesus took a very sinful woman, likely a prostitute, and freely washed her clean without hesitation, did he not? Luke 7:47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, see this, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. In other words, she really loved the Lord. And so God said, every one of her sins, which were many, are forgiven. You don't know what I've done. I don't care what you did. Jesus doesn't care what you did. His word said it's all forgiven. Now move on. The above verse is just one example of how freely Jesus would forgive a person of their sins. It is true that if we take our sin to Jesus, he will freely forgive us without hesitation. In Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There is also no sin that you can take to Jesus which he will not forgive. For the Bible tells us that he is prepared to cleanse us of all unrighteousness if we return to him with all our failures. There is also no sin that you can take to Jesus which he will not forgive. For the Bible tells us that he is prepared to cleanse us of all unrighteousness if we return to him with our failures. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you go before the Father and tell him all this junk that you've done, and tell him you're sorry, give it to him. He's taken it and he's thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness, and you quit carrying it around. Step number three, allow the Holy Spirit to heal your soul. You need to let God heal you. As long as you keep holding something against yourself, you are blocking the Holy Spirit's power from entering and healing that area of your mind and life. Allow the Holy Spirit to heal your soul. You need to let God heal you. As long as you keep holding something against yourself, you are blocking the Holy Spirit's power from entering and healing that area of your mind and life. You need to open up your heart and allow the light of Christ to shine into the darkness of your soul. You are the one that's holding back your freedom. Jesus isn't. I'm not. Your friends aren't. You are doing that. Step number four, begin to see the new creature of Christ within you. You are not seeing yourself as you really are. If you've repented of your past and sought God's forgiveness, then you are forgiven or justified, which means just as if you've never sinned. The important key is to see your past through the blood of Jesus. Do you think that God did not know what you were going to do whenever he formed you in your mother's womb? He knew everything he was going to do in your lifetime. But still, he marked you for his kingdom. Still, he called you, and he has a special plan already mapped out before your feet. He knew where you were going to go from step A to step Z. He knew everything that was going to happen in between, and he already made a way of escape for all that junk you went into. You need to see your past as paid in full by the work that Christ did for you on the cross. Seeing things with a perspective changes everything. You need to see your past paid in full by the works that Christ did for you on the cross. You need to begin seeing yourself through the blood of Jesus. One day when the enemy was trying to beat me up over my past, the Holy Spirit spoke clear to me and said, you need to know that you're clean and your faith depends upon it. Come on. Closing thoughts. Failing to see yourself as God's word sees you is denying the very work that Jesus did for us when he suffered and died on our behalf. Failing to see yourself as God's word sees you is denying the very work that Jesus did for us when he suffered and died on our behalf. Don't let this continue in your life another day. Accept the free gift of God and begin to see yourself as a new creation in Jesus Christ, whose past failures have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. If you hate the person that you are, but God's word tells you that you are a new creation, that's been washed clean with the blood of Christ, whose past has been purchased with the work that Christ did for us on the cross. Do you hate that person? Do you hate the new creation that God's made you? Or are you still a sinner in need of salvation? Question, are you in Christ or not? If you're in Christ, then your past is washed away. Everything you did before you entered those doors, if you repented while you're sitting in here, it's been washed away. God doesn't even remember it no more. And you need to forget about it too. This is a brand new day for you. This is a brand new life. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You have to walk in the Spirit. Do you want to bring glory and honor to Jesus? Then accept his gift with great joy and begin to see yourself as that new creation. Begin to see your past failures as being paid in full by the great sacrifice that Christ made for you. Begin to see you the same way that your Heavenly Father sees you. That number two I had on there, did you see that, Nancy? Put that up next. Did you make those copies for me, Chris? Can you have somebody pass them out while we're doing this? All right, this is just summing this up. Why does God make loving yourself the prerequisite for loving others? Here are five reasons self-love is important to the Christian walk. Number one, as you love yourself, it promotes empathy and mercy. When you love yourself, you can, don't read your list when you get it. Read this up on the screen. When you love yourself, you can go easy on others. See that? Because of the realization that we're all human and make mistakes. I have watched people over and over and over again. They are in deep sin. And they keep criticizing somebody else's sin, and they're really hard on them. And it's because they know they're in sin, and they can't forgive themselves, and so they take that guilt out on somebody else. Number two, it prevents you from loving out of need. All right, my question was, why does God make loving yourself the prerequisite for loving others? Number two, it prevents you from loving out of need. There's nothing more damaging than loving another from a place of neediness. That's what happens in marriages. Not only does it ruin relationships, it prevents the bond of unconditional love from taking root. Number three, gives way to healthy boundaries. Just because we care about people doesn't mean they should be allowed to overwhelm our lives. Putting up proper boundaries protects the overall emotional health of those involved. Number four, you're able to say no with a smile. When you love yourself, you're not overly concerned about people pleasing. This makes it easier to agree to things when you can and take a rain check when you have to without feeling bad. Number five, it creates balance in your relationship with God and others. Loving God and loving people has to be balanced with how we love ourselves. Spiritually investing through prayer, Bible study, church, and devotional time is one of the best ways we can show ourselves love. The outpouring we then receive from God overflows and becomes a source of love we tap into to bless others. You first have to forgive yourself. You have to accept Christ, what Christ did on the cross. And then when you do that, then you have love for yourself. Then that love, you have love for Christ, and that love will flow out into everybody that you meet. And instead, you walk around with a critical spirit. You criticize. If you criticize constantly, it's because you yourself are messed up. And you need to get that straightened out because you're destroying other people's lives. All right? For those who haven't been here before, what we do, first of all, let God do His work. And then please don't leave, because we always like to give your prophetic word. We like to allow God to speak into your life and to tell you what He wants to do with your life. And then what you do with it after He tells you is up to you. Amen. But we like to give you a chance to know what God really has for you in the future. But I want to encourage each one of you in here this morning, please keep your eyes upon Christ, because He's getting ready to, you just like He did Sister Mary, opened up her ministry. He wants to open up everybody's ministry in here from now on, because this is a time that He is moving in a great and a powerful way. Now, if you've had trouble forgiving yourself of the sins of your past, I want you to come to the altar this morning, because God wants to wash you clean. And I can guarantee that once He does that, when you get up, when you leave this altar area, you're not going to think about your past failures anymore, but your eyes are going to be upon Jesus. Somebody grab Grace. Grab Grace real quick. Yeah, you know, I'm here to tell you that when I was first born again, I really was sort of messed up in my thought life. And once God started, I allowed God to start changing the way I felt about myself, because I didn't love myself at all. Then God started using me mightily. And you see where I'm at 30 years later, still ministering the gospel. But I was messed up when I first became born again. So God, if God can use me, He can use you too. Amen. And He wants to use everybody in here this morning. So just yield yourself to God right now. Just forgive yourself. Learn to love yourself. And then move on. He wants you to move on this morning. You can't stay where you were. You have to move on.
My son, I truly call you my son this day. I know you have felt that you've been tossed in the wind here, there, and everywhere. But I am ringing you and railing you in and anchoring you in my love totally and completely. I am flushing out all the things of the world. I am flushing out the things that man has tried to structure and build inside of you. And I am bringing you into a deeper, more intimate relationship with me. I want to give you many close encounters with me, one-on-one, sitting at my table, supping with me, talking with me. We are going to have great fellowship together, you and I. You're going to receive many visions and dreams of things that I'm going to do, not only in your life, but in lives around about you. I am molding and making you into the image of my son. I am changing and rearranging your mind and your mindset to where you will be able to receive all of me as your heart has been crying out to do. My son, I am giving you the truth, the whole truth of what I have to speak. I have much great revelation knowledge that I want to download inside of you. Many new things in my word that I want to show you. Things that have not come about in your mind, but things that will truly come from my spirit. You will know what it is to truly walk in my spirit in all things. I am even anointing you this day to walk in the miracles, signs, and wonders, to bring others into my camp, to see those that have been down and out truly come in and receive me in my fullness. Continue to seek me this day. Know that I have truly moved on your behalf, and the winds that were truly blowing you this way and that are going to cease. And you will feel yourself steady and strong in me. Keep your eyes upon me. Keep your ears open to everything that I have to tell you. Know that I will silence the voices that goes on in your head, causing you to question the things that I have already placed inside of you. Know that my Holy Spirit truly does rest inside of you. It is those times that I have led you this way, and I've taken you that way. And you have missed many things that has even been sent from the enemy to take your very life. You have seen this in many ways and many facets. And my son, now I'm letting you know that it was my angels that was around about you, keeping you completely safe from all harm. I have led you here this day because I want you to know that I truly do want that intimate relationship with you. There is so much I have to tell you. All you have to do is sit before me and listen. And as you write these things down, I will reveal myself to you. I will confirm these things, and you will watch that your faith will grow, and you will truly see all the things that I am about to do in you, through you, and around about you. Your life has truly changed from this moment on. I want you to rejoice. I want you to get excited because many great new things is about to take place in your life. Look straight into my eyes, sit at my table and sup with me, and know that all I have for you is good. Many gifts are about to bestow upon you, son. Know that my heavens are opening up upon you this day, and you are going to receive everything that you are asking for.